Marco and Pauline have been missionaries with Wycliffe Canada since 1998. While they were training at the Canada Institute of Linguistics here in Langley, they became part of the North Langley family during those years. Pauline and Marco are passionate about the vision that everyone should have access to God's word in their own language. For many years, they worked in Mali, West Africa, where they facilitated translation of Bible books and selections in two related languages, and ensuring that translated scripture is made accessible in every possible way, including radio programs, oral Bible storying, websites, scripture apps, and the dubbing of the Jesus film. As a church, we've had the privilege of supporting and partnering with the Hakalas for many years, and it's truly an honor to have them here with us today for Mission Sunday.
How many of you get to read your Bible in your first language or second? That's great. But imagine you only had a Greek New Testament. William Tyndale's English New Testament appeared 500 years ago this year, 1526. It was the first English version to be translated from the New Testament Greek. But he was martyred for his work and faith, as were so many brave Mennonites in the 16th century, and as are many of our brothers and sisters in West Africa today and around the world. As you are being reminded of through the book of Revelation, persecution is the heritage of Christ's followers. This is the church in 2026. A few years ago, in 1997, Pauline and I came to Walnut Grove as newlywed students, house-sitting for an NLCC family, and studying at the Canada Institute of Linguistics, which is Wycliffe Canada's training arm. You sent us and our two Langley-born toddlers to Mali in 2001, to this country of 10,000 villages and many, many unreached peoples. You sent us to the inner Niger Delta and its hippos, with its Fulani people and their cows and their milk. Here's a hippo. It's Bambara people and beans and peanuts and millet. It's massive mud brick mosques and million mango trees, Timbuktu and Tuareg and Sahara sandstorms and salt and elephants. It's thorns and scorpions and stinging things. It's desert blues music, it's gold and it's cotton. You sent us to the Kozo with their rice and catfish and carp and crocodiles and their occult secrets, to a strong, smiling people in need of the life-changing healing power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, NLCC, for sending us. Early ministry progressed with the help of many short-term teachers and helpers for our four kids. Everything was going great. We believed for a spiritual breakthrough amongst the more than 500,000 Kozo language speakers. Even Louis Giglio and 10,000 students at Passion Conference 2011 took up an offering that paid for our radio broadcasts for many years. By early 2012, due to kidnappings, jihadism, and a military coup d'etat, Mali was no longer the stable democracy that had welcomed us years earlier. So we spent the next 5 years working at a distance from Burkina Faso and then Calgary. In 2017, we returned to Bamako to finish our radio programs, to dub that famous Jesus film, and launch the first Kozo Bible app for Android. We have just updated that into two separate apps and look forward to doing the promotion for that and publicity in the coming months. When we recorded the Jesus film, an old friend Tata came with her daughters to visit us, and we shared the good news of Jesus with her. She prayed to receive Jesus, and that night as she slept, she had a dream where Jesus appeared to her, dressed in white, with a huge crowd following him. When we later visited Tata, her son asked us to come see his second wife, who was in premature labor. We brought her to Bamako for the next few weeks until birth by cesarean. She'd been brought up in Mecca, but brought back to Timbuktu at the age of 12. By the age of 14, She was forcibly married as the fourth wife of a religious leader. She had six children before her husband died. She remarried into our friend Tata's family, and we started reading the Bible with her when she was with us. And at night, she would have spiritual dreams, culminating in her dreaming that Jesus came and woke her up. She gave her life to Jesus and was full of joy. Jesus is bringing hope and healing through his word, even today around the Muslim world. Even though Tata and Fatimata can't read, they're able to listen to and understand God's word in the languages that serve them best, their own. Thank you for sending us to them. We were able to continue translation and recording until last October, when our administration in Bamako finally told us, all of us expatriate workers, that we had to leave. It didn't look good for Mali as the population faced fuel shortages due to attacks on fuel trucks. We are thankful, though, that the Lord had already put it on our hearts to wrap up our commitments in Mali, which we do continue to do at a distance, while I look for a new opportunity with Wycliffe Canada. Pauline here, she has a new assignment with Wycliffe Canada as a partnership development coach for new members. However, violence, abductions, demanding jizya protection tax, and persecution against churches continue in Mali, as do activities by the military government and Russian mercenaries as they try to maintain their control of urban centers. Praise God, our organization in Mali is fully run and staffed by Malians and can continue Bible translation today for many, many people groups. They keep working. Let's keep praying and giving and going into all the world until all have heard about Christ's kingdom.
Good morning. What's the biggest river you've ever been in or on? As our plane descended to Abbotsford, coming from Calgary, we saw the huge Fraser River wending its way through the valley. The Niger is also a mighty river. It begins in Guinea, flows through Mali, and eventually reaches the ocean through Nigeria. It's the third longest river in Africa, and it is the lifeline of Mali, providing water to drink, fish to eat, land to farm, and a route to travel. For the Kozo people we work with, life is built around that river. But today, I want to talk about another river, a river that God shows us in his word. For those of you who are new to NLCC or here for the first time, we've been studying the book of Revelation in the series, All Things New. On this Mission Sunday, I'm going to jump ahead to Revelation chapter 22. Let's read together. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Just take a moment to picture that. A crystal clear river flowing from the throne of God, the source of life itself. The tree of life bearing fruit every month and leaves that bring healing to the nations. and his servants, that's us, will see his face. This is what awaits the people of God. This is our hope. This is the result of all that Jesus suffered and accomplished through his death on the cross and his resurrection that we've been contemplating these past few weeks. And this is also why we do missions, so that people can experience the glory of God and his loving healing of the nations. And when we look at our world today and at our own lives, we see how deeply that healing is needed, don't we? I want us to think today of the river of God and the tree of life bearing fruit, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. We will look at how God is calling the Kozo people of Mali, along with us here in NLCC, to live in the river of life and bring healing to the nations. Now, this river described here is a future reality, but let's think of it also as a present invitation, because we can think of this river as the Spirit of God. John chapter 7, verse 37 says that Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit. So as we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water flow from within us. He is in us and we are in him. In the book of Revelation, John was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He says, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit." That is where the revelation begins. That's where I want to be, in the Spirit. It is from this place of abiding in the river that we can reach out to others in God's strength, not our own. Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in my love." He's saying, "Remain in me, stay connected to me." Today we are picturing this as living in the river of his life-giving Spirit. We are invited to live in this river now, not just visiting occasionally, but dwelling there. Let's be river dwellers. God has a mission for each of us, for each of you. Good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, whether it's here in Walnut Grove or as far as Timbuktu or somewhere in between. But before anything else, before mission, before calling, before serving, our primary calling is relationship with God. It's out of this relationship that God's mission flows. Ministry should be a product of our intimacy with God. So how do we stay in the river? Through simple, intentional practices that keep us connected to God. Some call these spiritual disciplines, like prayer, talking as to your best friend, like fasting, perhaps from food or something like social media, in order to spend time with him, taking time in his word, the Bible, listening to him, through worship, old songs, new songs, songs of praise, through times of silence, just sitting in his presence, through times of community, generosity, sharing, confessing our sins to one another. Not as rituals, not as striving, but as ways of being with him. You need to find practices that help you connect with God. Dr. Rob Reamer, who wrote River Dwellers, explains that spiritual disciplines are not an end in themselves. They are a means to an end. The disciplines are a tool to help us get to know God and access his presence. The purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible. The purpose of reading your Bible is to know God. For me personally, one of the most powerful practices has been meditating on Scripture. In Mali, many people can't read, but they have an incredible ability to memorize. And these people have inspired me. For the past few years, I've been memorizing the Gospel of Mark, and it has changed how I experience Scripture, because it's no longer something I visit. It's something that lives in me. I can reflect on it at any time, during the day and in the night, or moments when I need guidance. Another practice that has shaped me is simply sitting quietly before God and receiving his love. Just lifting my face to Jesus and letting his face shine on me. No agenda, no striving, just being with him. And in those moments, I've experienced healing and encouragement and a deeper closeness with him. Out of this place, I receive what it takes to minister to others. This is what it means to stay in the river. But don't get me wrong, I am as apt to leave the river as any of us, to get entangled in the stress of life and to put a foot out on the bank. While I prepared for this message, there were times that fear threatened to overwhelm me. It was only through intentional praise and worship, turning my eyes to Jesus, that I was able to find that place of peace in the river again. Now let me take you back to the Niger River. The Kozo, with whom we have lived and served through facilitating Bible translation and engagement with God's word, live as fishermen and rice farmers on the Niger River. In Mali, they are known as the masters of the river, with special powers and believed to be able to literally live in the river underwater. While they are Muslim in name, they are known and sought out for their occult powers and their ability to manipulate the spirit world. But we know who the true source of life is. The river we read about in Revelation flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is the master of this river. Do you remember how on the Sea of Galilee, his disciples were terrified of the waves that were breaking over the boat and threatening to swamp it? Jesus was fast asleep in the stern. He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. His disciples were terrified and said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." He is the master. We long to see many more Kozo enter this river of life, like Ibrahima has. Ibrahima was used to fishing and wading through rice fields. He came to the capital city looking for opportunity. He wanted adventure and a way to make money. He began working at night, diving from a boat into the Niger River to dredge sand from the riverbed. Hard, dangerous work. He met a colleague of ours who was teaching literacy, and he was eager to learn to read. She read stories from the Bible to him. But at first, he wasn't interested in Jesus. But as he encountered the word of God for himself, something began to change. He chose to follow Jesus. And he said, "Before, I couldn't sleep at night. I was anxious about making life work. But when I came to Jesus, I had peace and I could sleep." That's the work of the river of God. Peace replacing anxiety, love replacing fear. Even a local religious leader who had once opposed him for his faith recently sent him a gift of fish and said, "Now I know that Jesus is the truth." Ibrahima shines with joy and love for those around him. Early on, he dived into serving Jesus, which is also hard work, recording scripture radio programs, participating in the Jesus film as the voice of Jesus, sharing the Bible live on the radio, and even translating scripture alongside Marco into his own language. He has selflessly loved his family, so now they respect him and even come to him for advice. Ibrahima lives fearless in the river of God and calls his fellow Kozo to come join him in the healing power of Jesus Christ. But not every story is that straightforward. Lai, a young Kozo man, joined the Bible Translation Project and was excited to be part of developing his own language. However, he was the keeper of his family's special occult secrets and powers, handed down to him from his father. He could see how much havoc Satan had wreaked on his family, but letting these secrets go would be very difficult. He became more and more convinced that Jesus was the truth. He had the courage to share this with us. We prayed. Then one day, he took the bold step of getting rid of these written incantations. It was a scary thing to do. What backlash might there be? Lai has put his foot in the river, but he still has a long way to go. Belief in Jesus needs to be followed by full surrender and a commitment to follow Jesus as Lord with one's heart, mind, and soul. He needs the courage to dive in. Let's pray that God would continue to reveal his beautiful plan and love for Lai and his people. And that raises a question for all of us. Where are you? Are you standing at the edge of the river? Are you wading in but holding things back? Or are you fully surrendered, letting God carry you? Is there anything that is holding you back that you need to get rid of, like Lai did? Take a moment and give it to God, just as if you're dropping it like a pebble or a stone into the river. In Revelation, we're told that on either side of the river is the tree of life. It bears fruit continually, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Mali is also full of fruit-bearing trees, and many are used for healing. Their leaves are gathered as medicine for everything from malaria to colds. I even brought the seed of a moringa tree from Mali and planted it in our home in Calgary. Moringa is a tree that is known for its remarkable nutritional and healing properties, and it's often grown near maternity centers to support new mothers. The image of leaves being for healing would have been very familiar to John, who received the revelation from God. Just as trees bring healing, when we dwell in the river of God's Spirit, he works through us to bring healing to the nations, restoring relationships with God, with one another, and with creation, making all things new. Here again, there's both a future promise and a present reality. Through us, God brings healing, healing in relationships, healing in hearts, healing in communities. But that only happens if we remain connected to the source. We must abide in Christ. When we live in the river of God, in his power, good things happen that are above and beyond all we can ask or imagine. Remember that our journey in ministry and mission must begin with us in and continue with us in the river of God. As you, the team that's going to Hong Kong, and you, Sir Grace, as well, going to North Africa, abide in and draw from the river of God, you will be empowered and used to bring healing. So whether you are being sent across the world or living your daily life right here where you are, here is what Ibrahima would say to you. Get in and stay in the river of God. Let God take you wherever he will. Draw everyone you can into the river with you, wherever that river rushes or meanders. Yield to the work of God's Spirit in your life. He can carry you to any corner of the world as you surrender to his Spirit's leading. From that place of dwelling in the river, you won't have to strive to serve. You'll be shown where to serve. You will serve from the gifting and empowering of Jesus in your life. You will bring blessing and healing. And when you grow weary and feel dry in your walk with Jesus, as we all do sometimes, draw back and dive in again and bathe in the love of God for you. It all comes back to our relationship with God. Find rhythms of spiritual disciplines that work for you and change them up when you begin to feel dry and sense that you have stepped out of the river. Let the river of God carry you where he wants you to go. And as you go, wherever he takes you, draw others into that river with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you call us to dwell with you, to abide in you, and to know you more. Thank you that from this place of abiding in you, you send us to minister your good news to others, here and all around the world. Draw us into your river of love today. Help us right now to surrender all to you and to trust you to carry us. Some of us, Lord, are carrying heavy burdens. We release them to your river of love and life. Some of us are hiding secrets. Help us to bring them into the light with you. We want nothing to hinder our intimacy with you. Please heal us from all our wounding so that we may extend your healing to others. As we receive from you, send us out to our families, to our communities, to the nations, to share what you have poured into us through your Holy Spirit. Give us a passion for all to experience the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.